We just got back from vacation. Yay! It was a lot of fun. So vacations are great. I really like vacations. This particular vacation, we were at a family reunion in Fredericksburg, and Patty's family members and Becky's came from all over, from Washington State, from Indiana, from Minnesota, and a lot of folks from Texas, which that was fun. And we climbed Enchanted Rock. That was fun and harrowing, but that's another story that I won't go into. And then we did come back, and Patty had a couple of days of work, and I just worked around the house and fixed things and took care of things that needed to be taken care of. And then we went and saw my dad, who celebrated his 81st birthday. My dad's dealing with dementia and some heart issues and stuff like that, so you got to, you know, celebrate these things while you still can. And so we spent some time with them. It was great. It's good to be back. But we were sort of surprised that while we were gone, you guys blew the roof off the place. So a little remodeling or something. You know, it's okay to do that figuratively, but not so much really. So, no, I know that you weren't responsible for that. But, hey, you know, God can use us to blow the roof off of this place as we share the good news of Jesus Christ in our actions and in our words with our neighbors, our coworkers, folks at school, and our community. So look forward to seeing the roof blown off in the future. Figuratively. Vacations are a lot of fun, and maybe you have already gone on vacation. Maybe you're going to go on vacation. I don't know. Maybe you're not going to get to this year, and that's okay, because the lessons that we're going to learn today, you don't have to actually go on vacation. These are just things that are helpful if you do go on vacation, but they're also helpful in everyday life. And they're not just things that you learn when you go on vacation, but they're in God's Word as well. So let's get started. The first one is plan ahead. There was a pastor who said, you know what, I plan every day of my life. I'm tired of it. I have weekly deadlines. In fact, I have multiple weekly deadlines. So we're going to go on a vacation, and I'm not going to make any plans to do so. And so they didn't, other than setting a date, and they took off, and they kind of went one place and didn't have reservations anywhere, no plans. His wife called it the pinball vacation. We just bounced around from one place to the other, no reservations, no plan, no fun, she said. So, you know, you have to do some planning in order to have a good vacation. Scripture tells us that plans are important as well. Proverbs 14:22, don't those who stray plan what is evil, while those who are merciful and faithful plan what is good. So good people and even evil people make plans. You know, good people make good plans and evil people make evil plans. Planning is important, and Scripture talks about planning actually quite often. Jesus himself talked about no one builds a tower without first calculating the cost, figuring out, do I have enough resources? Will I have enough resources to finish this thing? Or is it going to be partially built and a monument to my inability to plan and my inability to push something forward and carry through? Will people just laugh at me because I have not finished what I set out and started to do? And so Jesus talks about the importance of planning. He also talks about waging war. You don't go to war without first having a plan and figuring out whether you have enough troops and material and whatnot in order to do. And if you can't, then maybe you should go and make a peace treaty or figure out something. And so planning is important. Scripture tells us that God himself has a plan for us. One of the most popular passages in the Old Testament talks about the plans that God has made for us to prosper us, to give us a future. And so God has a plan for us, and he's been working that plan from the very beginning, from the time that he created Adam and Eve till Jesus and to us. There is a plan, and there's a plan that goes on beyond us to bring all of those who come to acknowledge him up to be with him in heaven and to live with him forever. And that's a great thing, that God has plans for us. So if God has plans for us, shouldn't we have plans too? I don't know who wrote this, but I think it's pretty smart. Plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark, right? In fact, scholars say that it may have never rained at all, that maybe one of the reasons why they lived so long is because it was just sort of misty and humid all the time and moderate, of course, but maybe it had never rained. And in fact, it talks about how waters gushed up from the earth during the flood. And so there's probably some major seismic activity that caused that and caused, you know, great catastrophes and a lot of the formations that we have today. Can you imagine? It's never even rained and Noah has to build an ark. just like the old Bill Cosby thing. What's an ark? You know, people thought he was nuts. But plan ahead. You got to plan ahead because you never know what's going to happen. Those who are merciful and faithful plan what is good. God has plans for us. Let's make good plans. So whether you're going on vacation or life, it's good to have plans. But it's also good to have spontaneity and flexibility built in. So leave room for that. Be spontaneous is one B. You can see they kind of relate. Plan ahead, but be spontaneous at the same time. They sound like opposites. They're not. Not entirely. You can be spontaneous if more easily sometimes if you have a plan and you have some planned flexibility so that you can be spontaneous. Proverbs 16:9, one of Catherine's favorite verses. A person may plan his own journey, but the Lord directs his steps. So be open. Be open to God's surprises. God has a plan. We have a plan. Guess what? Sometimes they don't match. And when they don't match, his plan versus my plan is always going to be better. It may not seem better at the time. In fact, it might seem a lot worse than my plan. And I may not want to follow his plan. But his plan, I guarantee you, is always better than my plan, than your plan. It happened to Paul. Paul was in Asia Minor. His call from the church at Antioch was to go into Asia Minor and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That made sense. He was from Tarsus. Tarsus is in Asia Minor. These are his peeps. He knows the culture. He knows kind of the region, the area. It makes sense for him to go there and to share the good news of Jesus with people who are more like him. And so he does. And he's going around Asia Minor. He's got a route mapped out in his travel plan. And then the Holy Spirit prevents him from going where he wants to go. He gets in the way, and we're not sure how that all worked, but it says that the Holy Spirit prevented them from going forward because Paul never went anywhere alone. And then there was this vision of this man from Macedonia who was receptive to the gospel. And so he goes to Macedonia, and I'm sure Paul was thinking, Macedonia, that's where Corinth is, you know, Sin City. That was like a place that was known for being a place where anything that happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. You don't talk about it. It was just kind of that kind of place. And people were different there. They had different ideas about stuff. They had a much stronger Greek culture. I'm sure he must have been thinking, are you sure, God, this is where you want me to go? And so God has to send him this vision to prove to him, yes, you need to go to Macedonia. So he ends up going to places like, you'll recognize these names. He goes to places like Corinth and Thessalonica and Philippi and even to Athens, Greece. So he goes to these places, and is he effective in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? He absolutely is. And he writes letters to them that tell us more about his travels and his teachings as a result of that. And in fact, he goes even beyond that ultimately to Rome later on. So it's kind of like preparatory work for him going to Rome. I like what Tommy Walker wrote over 200 contemporary Christian songs. Not popular now, but he was, you know, many years ago. But he said this, the only way you can really be spontaneous is if you actually have a spontaneous relationship with God. So to be spontaneous and be good at being spontaneous, it's following God's direction, especially when that direction is not what your direction is, what you have planned. That's the real spontaneity, and that happens by having a spontaneous relationship with God. So in other words, plan, but be flexible. Let go and let God. Let God change your plans whenever he needs to. It will be better ultimately. On vacation and in life, also find your joy. No one plans a vacation to go somewhere that they've never wanted to go, or to a place that they hate, or to do something that they don't like to do. People do not plan vacations that way. What do? You follow your joy. You find your joy. And I really enjoy being out in nature. I love being out in the mountains or hiking in the forest or rivers or ocean or lakes. I love being out in nature, and I think I'm not the only one. In fact, the psalmist here seems to like that too. Psalm 92, 4 through 5. You made me find joy in what you have done, O Lord. I will sing joyfully about the works of your hands. How spectacular are your works, O Lord. How very deep are your thoughts. So what God does, what he's made, his creation. And maybe that's why One of my best memories of vacations that I've taken with my family is kind of a culmination of following other joys that I had. So before Patty and I were married, we met in college, and then my second year of college, your first year of college, we became, over the summer, camp counselors at Camp Luther Homa in Oklahoma, kind of near Tulsa, if you know where Tulsa is. So this section, the camp goes right by the Arkansas River goes right by. And one of the things that you got to do as a camp counselor is you got to take kids canoeing quite often, almost every week. We would go canoeing. And so I found that I really enjoyed canoeing. I think Patty really enjoyed it too. And so later on, we did more canoeing. We did some sailing and stuff too. But we canoed not just the Arkansas River, but when we were on our honeymoon, one of the stops we made was Buffalo Point National Riverway. And the Buffalo River there is like one of the most pristine areas anywhere in the United States. There's, you know, no private property on the river. It's in its natural state, and it's just beautiful. And so we canoed the Buffalo River, and we liked it so much then that we even took friends later on and our kids ultimately down to go canoeing there too. We did some kayaking at Puget Sound when we were in Washington years ago. So you can kind of get a little bit of a theme here: water, canoes, kayaks. I even, not with Patty, but with a church planning group and the district president of the District of Texas, went canoeing on the Mulberry River in Arkansas, which it wasn't in high stage, but it's a little bit of whitewater canoeing. And I discovered on that trip that there are advantages of being short. When you're in a canoe and you're short, that lowers the center of the gravity in the canoes. When you're going over whitewater, you're more likely to stay up, unlike our district president, who's about that tall. And he was with another district president. It wasn't near as tall as he was, but when they went through the whitewaters, they went and took a dip. So I found that there's an advantage of being short and being on the river. But one of my all-time favorite vacation memories is when we went to Royal Gorge, and we went whitewater rafting in Royal Gorge in Colorado. And it was just beautiful. Almost everywhere you look, there's mountains, and the gorge, well, it was, wait for it, gorgeous. And then there's this train that kind of goes through, and it's just, you know, it's nostalgic seeing trains with passenger cars going by. And it was challenging, too. This was, you know, level 4 rapids. They have level 5 rapids, too. But, you know, we had a guide, which is good. So it was challenging and risky, but our guide kept us safe. Although there was one time when, you know, he gave us instructions. It's like, you know, right, right, left, left. You know, you're supposed to stroke. You know, and he would say, right 3. That means, you know, 3 strokes on the right, or 2 left, and you do 2 on the left. Then he would say, back, back, for backstroke. I remember one time he was, you know, being all nice and calm, and it was 2 right, 2 right, and then it was 2 left, 2 left, and then it was back, 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 back. That all happened just before we ran into this wall on the side of the gorge. And he said, and that's why they call this part of the rapids wall banger. Because if you do it wrong, you hit the wall. So, but he got us back on track, and nobody drowned, and we're all okay. But it was a lot of fun. And I just think, you know, part of it is just being out in God's creation and seeing what he's done. Studies today show that people who are out in nature on a regular basis, like, you know, weekly, live longer. They're healthier than people who don't get out into nature. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. Find your joy. And maybe that's not your joy. Maybe your joy is being in a 4-star hotel, and that's great. That's just not my jam. If it seems a childish thing to do, do it in remembrance of your child, Frederick Buechner said. You know, and we are, right? We are children of the Heavenly Father. We are princes and princesses of the King. He has adopted us into his family. And guess what? All the works of his hands, all of his creation, those were created, even the universe and the Milky Way and all the things beyond it were made for your enjoyment and for mine. So find your joy. That's good advice when you're planning a vacation. It's good advice when you're planning a life. Secondly, find joy in other people's joy. Philippians 2:3-4. Don't act out of selfish ambition or be conceited. Instead, humbly think of others as being better than yourselves. Don't be concerned only about your own interests, but also be concerned about the interests of others. So there's one thing that I enjoy more than doing a fun thing like whitewater rafting down Royal Gorge? And that is doing things that give joy to my family. And maybe it's even something I don't like all that much, but if Patty and Will and Andrew, if my wife and my two boys enjoy it, guess what? I'm going to enjoy doing that more than the thing that I like to do more usually, but they don't enjoy as much. I'm going to get more joy out of seeing them have joy. So find joy in others' joy too. Long time ago, there was a running back for the Chicago Bears called Gale Sayers, and he wrote an autobiography called I Am Third. Great book. I read it in high school. Like I said, it's old. This book talks a little bit about why it has its title, I Am Third. It's basically Gale Sayers learned over time to put God first, others second, and he said, I am third. And he found that that was really helpful when he was going through really difficult times, like when he had an injury that most everybody was saying, he's not going to recover. This is going to end his career as a running back. But he did recover, and he did run again. And so, oh, wait a minute, that's a spoiler. It's still worth reading the book, so read the book, too. It goes into a lot more depth and detail than that. And then I remember right after that book came out, there were these little Christian cards that were coming out in Christian posters and that would say, it would have a big J, an O, and a Y, and then little letters right next to each of those. And by J, it said Jesus, and by the O, it said others. And by the why, it said, you. And it's true, right? If you really want to experience joy in your life, the best way to experience it is to put Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. So find other people's joy. Get your priorities right, and you'll experience joy on vacation and in life. Find joy and find others' joy as well. 3A, push yourself. Best vacations for me, I'm always doing something new, something challenging. You heard about the water stuff, but we also like hiking and zip lining and stuff like that. Just, you know, nothing too major, not too risky, not too dangerous. Although hiking in the Canadian Rockies in the snow in November was probably a little too risky. I ended up breaking my wrist. You know, it's fun doing things that are a little more challenging and a little more difficult from time to time. For me, I really like that. Joshua 1:9 kind of talks about how God gives us courage and strength for our adventures, right? Be strong and courageous. Don't tremble or be terrified because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua was getting ready to do something he had never done before, and he was leading a whole crowd of people to do something they had never done before. In fact, they didn't even want to really do because of the dangers and challenges that lie ahead. But here is the point of this. Wherever you go, God is with you. And guess what he's going to give you? He's going to give you strength, and he's going to give you courage. He's going to help you. So you can take some managed risks. You can take some calculated risks in your life. Jim Burke was the new product manager a long, long time ago for Johnson & Johnson Company. And he had a big project that he spent a lot of money on, creating a children's chest rub, which you've never heard of. You know why? It failed miserably. It just tanked. The chairman of the board came up to him and said, "Are you the one who just cost us all that money? Well, I just want to congratulate you. If you are making mistakes, that means you're taking risks, and we won't grow unless you take risks." That was Robert Wood Johnson of Johnson & Johnson & Company. Now, Jim Burke later went on to become the CEO of Johnson & Johnson, and he ended up serving on the board of directors later on as well. So, whether you're on vacation or in life, challenge yourself. Push yourself a little bit. Count upon God. He'll give you the courage and strength to do what might seem uncomfortable, might seem difficult, especially if it is in his will. And then 3B. Yes, we need to push ourselves from time to time, but we also need to rest. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest." I already asked you how many of you are tired, how many of you are worn. Lots of you raised your hands. All of you raised your hands when at some time, have you ever been tired or worn? Yes, we have been. We've been carrying heavy loads. And when we are doing that, we're tempted to just say, well, I just need to quit everything. I need to stop, or I need to manage my time, or I need to find balance, or I need to do more time management, or I need a vacation, or what have you. But those are not things that have a promise of receiving rest. They're good things. They're helpful. But this verse says, if you want rest, come to Jesus. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Seek Jesus, and he will give you this gift. It's a promise. When you come to Jesus, you will get rest. Now, he doesn't say, I will carry all of your load. He doesn't say, I will remove all of your burdens. He's removed the heaviest burden, our burden of sin. Shame, guilt, all that is gone. We don't ever have to carry that again. And when we do, it's because the devil has tempted us to pick that back up when it's already really all taken care of and we don't need to worry about it anymore. So those burdens are gone. But Jesus also says, in this world you will have trouble. So we are going to have trouble. We're going to have trouble, but he says, I have overcome the world. So we have him to give us strength, to give us courage, to give us rest in the midst of our carrying loads. We can have wind damage on our building, but when we come to Jesus, he will give us rest. He will restore us. He will recreate us. I love that word, recreate, recreate. We get to be a part of God's creation when we recreate, when we recreate, when we refresh, when we renew, when we spend time with him. VBS, Vacation Bible School. It was really great to see all of you volunteers, those of you who are here in the room the other day as Catherine was going over what needs to be done and who's doing what. That's just exciting. If you've done this before, you all know, hey, it's a lot of work. We're going to be weary. We're going to be worn at the end of the week. We may not even want to come on Friday, but we're going to do it anyway. Why? Because there's a reward at the end of it, because it's part of God's will, because ultimately we will have not just rest for our souls, but we'll have the strength and courage we need to get through it, and it'll be fulfilling. We'll be doing something significant in the lives of our children, the friends of our children, and our friends in our community who will be here. So it's a great thing, even doing something like VBS. Look at the opportunities that are presented in every challenge. Look at the rewards that come at the end of every sacrifice done for the sake of God and his plan. Maybe you've heard that life is a marathon, not a sprint, or it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. I disagree with that. What I say is life is neither a sprint nor a marathon, but rather a series of sprints. It's a series of sprints where you're going really fast and nonstop and working hard, and then you need time to rest. And then you go off again, and then you need time to rest. And actually, God has kind of made our creation in such a way that we need rest. Research shows that high-intensity interval training works better than just running flat out or exercising flat out. In other words, it's better to do a really strenuous exercise and then a lesser exercise and then a strenuous exercise and a lesser exercise for 30 minutes than it is to just do flat out your hardest exercise for 30 minutes. It's better for you. You get more accomplished. You build your muscles more. You get more strength and endurance by doing high-intensity interval training. Same thing with strength training, whether you use resistance or weights or whatever, do a set of maybe 8 or 10 or 12 or 15 or whatever, and then you need to rest. You need to rest that muscle group and allow your body to re-nourish and put the fuel back in the muscle so that it can work some more. And then you do another set, and then you rest again for maybe a minute and a half, and then you do it again. So it's better to have rest as a part of those. It builds you up more than if you just did as much as you could all in one setting without stopping to rest. God has built it into creation. On the seventh day, Scripture says, God did what? He rested. He created all of the things that are. And on the seventh day, he rested. Do you think God really needs rest? Probably not. So you know why I think he rested on the seventh day? So we'd catch the hint, you know, we'd get it. We go, oh, wait a minute, this is just how we need to live too. We need to rest. We can't just go nonstop all the time. He's built it into everything. We need to take a rest. We need to come to Jesus. It's tempting to think when we're all worn out and whatnot, well, we need to manage our time better or whatever. But no, we need to come to Jesus and rest. And we need to do it not just when we go on vacation. We need to do it every week, like God did, as a lesson for us. So come to Jesus and get some rest. Amen.